Charles says, sit down. And they're still back there talking. All right, let's quiet all voices and all electronic devices. Let's prepare our hearts to worship as we listen to Lonnie's prelude. Thank you, Lonnie. Good morning and welcome to First Christian Church. Those in the center aisle, please find the pink friendship sheet and sign your name and send that down. And look at who's sitting around you and be sure you say hello to them. And if you would pull out the announcement sheet from your bulletin, there are about a zillion announcements this week, so let's have a look at them. This Wednesday is our final Lenten service. It's followed by the soup supper. The next week, there is a Maundy Thursday service, so come on Thursday, March 29th at 7:30. There is no soup supper that night. Holy Week services are starting Monday, March 26th at the Methodist Church downtown. So if you can, please attend those. I've been to a lot of them. They're always wonderful. And they also serve cafeteria-style lunch after the service. We will be having a trash cleanup day March 24th at 9 a.m. The wind always blows in a lot of trash all winter, so we need a lot of people to come and help take care of that. There's an Easter egg hunt March 31st at 11 a.m. And importantly, there's a sign-up sheet for the 12-hour prayer vigil that is also that Saturday, March 31st. You can sign up for half-hour, one-hour increments, so please find a time to come and pray. And on Easter Sunday, it's going to be a busy weekend, there is a potluck brunch at 9 o'clock downstairs. Just bring anything you like to eat and share it. Registration for youth summer camp needs to be in the office by April 11th. And so for the details, please contact Carmen Goodman for that. There's also a note, Casper College Band Concert is at Wheeler Hall, 3 o'clock, Saturday, March 24th, in the, well, it says New Music Building, too. So I don't know what the difference is. So just go find it. Yeah. So are there any other announcements? All right. Well, in that case, let's stand and greet each other, and then we'll sing hymn 469, verses 2 and 4. Thank you. Worship. People of God, open your eyes. Look around.
The presence of our Lord Jesus Christ is here. Christ is among us and within us.
God's salvation is close at hand, nearer than you know. So open your eyes to see. Open your hearts and minds to the Spirit.
Let's worship God together.
Please join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, today we bring our fears and anxieties into your presence, listening for your voice to lead us from our own heart's desires into your grace. Help each one of us to see our priorities and not be led astray. Too often we fail to live up to our ideals. We compromise for comfort. We become too concerned about material things and seek our own glory. We fail to put our trust in you, trusting only in ourselves. During this time of Lent, may the light of Christ shine into the hidden darkness of our lives and restore us for the service of the Lord. We ask these things as we pray the prayer you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Be seated. Our hymn of praise today is number 44 from the Purple Chalice Praise Songbook. We will sing twice through, "Open Our Eyes, Lord."
Thank you.
like to invite the children to come forward for a time of sharing. Good morning, friends. I'm so glad you all are here today. I want to draw your attention to the candles on the table. We always light the candles on the communion table at the beginning of the service. So I have a question. I just wonder, why do you all think we do that? Why do we light candles? What do you think? They show that we love the Lord. Caleb? They show the light of the Lord. What great answers you all have. The candles on the communion table symbolize the light of God. And we see God's light every day when we open our eyes. When the sun rises, we know that God made the sun. God made the world in which we live. And it's a very common thing for people to light candles when they pray. So that reminds us that we love God. And the candles that we light at the beginning of the worship service symbolize the light of God, just like Caleb said. So at the beginning of the service, sometimes you all are asked to be candle lighters. And we have you carry the light of Christ all the way from the back of the church to the front and light the candles. Some churches then, at the end of the service, have an acolyte, that's the person who lights the candle, take that light from the candle and carry it all the way out of the service. That represents how Christ's light leads us out into the world. But you know what? Even if we didn't have any candles lit, God's light would still be here because God's light is in our hearts. God's light lives with inside of us. And so when we go out and we tell other people that God loves them, we're sharing the light of God from our heart to their heart. It might not be as visible as when we light a candle, but it's even more important. This week, I want each one of you to try to be God's light, to try to show someone else that God loves them. If you're comfortable to tell someone else that God loves them, you can invite a friend to church with you. And just in the way you live your life so that God's light shines in you. There's a song about God's light that I'm guessing you might know. It's called This Little Light of Mine. Have you all ever sung that? I think some of the grown-ups in the church know it, and I'm going to ask them to help us. We're going to sing just the first verse of This Little Light of Mine. I'm going to let it shine. So if you all would get your finger candle out and hold it up, and we'll sing together. Will you pray with me? Oh God, we ask that your light will shine in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, help each one of us to be a bearer of your light in the world. In Christ's name, all God's children said, Amen. And you can head to worship and wonder or sit with your parents. On the back of our bulletin, you will find a list of prayer concerns in the congregation. And as we lift these up, I encourage you to take a prayer card from the pew rack in front of you, write a note to someone who needs to know we're praying for them in worship today, and then place that card in the offering tray. Our card shower this morning is for Chuck and Susie Stewart. Though they're present in worship today, we continue to hold them in prayer. Chuck has had some health tests, and he has an appointment coming up with a doctor, and we just want to continue to pray for God's healing and for God's peace to be with both Chuck and Susie. Cal Decker has started a new cancer medication. He's very hopeful that this will work well as part of his ongoing treatment, so prayers for Cal. Dewey Smith is having issues again with the glaucoma in his left eye. He has struggled with glaucoma for many years and has had numerous treatments for that. His left eye is flaring up and it's affecting his vision. So prayers for Dewey. Prayers also for his son who had cardiac tests this week. We offer prayers of sympathy to our regional minister, the Reverend Dr. Joanne Bell Haynes. Her stepdaughter, Kim Atwater, passed away in Washington, D.C. after battling pancreatic cancer. So Joanne has flown to D.C. to be with family. Prayers of safe travels for her and prayers of comfort for all of their family. A joy to share. Yesterday, the blanket ministry made 14 new fleece blankets that will be given to people in need in our community. We rejoice at that. And there was a woman who's a recipient of the sandwich ministry who asked for prayers for her grandchild, Zane, who was 1 year old and is at Wyoming Medical Center having brain issues. There's a brain stent put into this little child, so prayers of healing and prayers for peace and courage for all the family. Robin Nelson extends her gratitude for all of the prayer cards she received from our church family and words of support at her mother's passing. Her mom's memorial service will be held June 8th, which is a Friday here in our sanctuary at 10:30. Our community and world concerns today include prayers for Lauren McGrail, who works as a missionary in Israel-Palestine. We continue to pray for those in the Northeast affected by severe winter storms, and prayers for safe travel to be with our youth. Sarah Williams boarded a plane early yesterday morning in Denver to head to New York. They'll be in New York for about half a week and then in Washington, D.C. They'll be visiting the United Nations. They'll visit with churches who do work in street ministry and also with refugees and are active in international mission work. I know it will be an incredible learning experience for all of the group. There are 7 youth and 5 adults traveling together from the Central Rocky Mountain region and Nebraska in this chapter of the International Affairs Seminar. So prayers for them. Our prayer partners today, there's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary you can sign. We are lifting up chaplains and non-congregational clergy across the denomination and around our community. That includes prayers for Zach Bahuro, who is the current staff chaplain. He works part-time at Wyoming Medical Center. They're in the process of hiring an additional chaplain, so prayers for our local hospital. Are there others today that we want to lift up concerns or joys? Tom. So Tom outbowled 2 Hall of Fame bowlers, but he didn't do as well as he had hoped. There is more bowling yet to come, and prayers for safe travels on all of your journeys as that continues to be an important part of your life. Michelle. It is a lot for Tyler to be carrying right now. In case you couldn't hear Michelle, her husband Tyler needs our prayers. His dad has had a brain tumor return. His grandfather in Laramie only has 10% of his heart function and is going day by day. And his grandmother in Pennsylvania is in hospice care. So prayers for Tyler, for his grandparents, and for all of the Elser family. Jim. It is indeed a joy to rejoice with you that your niece had a healthy baby last night. We give thanks to God for that new life, and we pray for Jim's brother, David, who continues to struggle with seizures and a neurological issue. Becky.
I have an illustrator adoption.
Hooray! We are praying with the Ostranders through the long journey of adopting their first child from China. All the paperwork is now in China, so it's up to the Chinese authorities to move the process ahead. We continue to pray for patience for Phil and Becky as the process takes time, but also give thanks for the great excitement they have for already loving a little boy in their hearts who will come sometime in 2018 to make his home in Casper, Wyoming. Thank you for the update. Let us turn to the Lord now in a time of shared silence as we lift up these and other prayers. Almighty God, before time existed, you spoke and said, "Let there be light." You created the sun and the moon and all the stars of heaven. And you sent forth the light of your love to be borne forward through the gift of life. For all that is and all that is to come, we give you thanks, O giver of light. Holy and gracious God, we pray for those who are living through times of darkness and trial. We pray for those who are sick or suffering, for those who are recovering from storms. We pray for those like Dewey who find their own vision threatened. Lord, we pray for those who know the darkness of fading health. We pray for Dewey's son as he undergoes cardiac tests. We pray for David Oliver as he struggles with seizures. Lord, we ask for your light to shine upon Tyler Elser. We pray for his dad living with a brain tumor, for his grandfather in Laramie and his grandmother in Pennsylvania, for their declining health. Lord, we ask that your light would shine for this family in uncertain times. We rejoice with Cal at the gift of a new medication and pray for its efficacy. We rejoice at the birth of a new baby, at blankets made and shared. Lord, we ask you to watch over little Zane at the Wyoming Medical Center. And we also pray for those who serve as chaplains in our community and around the world. Oh God, be with Joan. Be with her family. We thank you for Kim's life and now for the peace that she knows with you. Lord, we ask you to watch over all of the Haynes. Oh God of light, the dawn of each new day reminds us that you are ever new. And we thank you for the new and exciting chapter that Becky and Phil are sharing. We pray for the process to move ahead as the authorities in China give approval to adoption paperwork. Oh, good and gracious God, for each one that we name before you, we pray that your light will shine in their lives. Be with Lauren McGrail and the work that she does in Israel-Palestine. And bless all who are called to serve you. Bless all who are called to bear the name of Christ, to be bearers of your light in the world in which we live. O good and gracious God, we pray to you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Being an elder is not an easy thing for me. Some people have the gift of patter and jibber-jabber, and they stand up here and just let it flow. But I am not that person. And so I have to plan, and I have to prepare. And so I started working on this a couple of weeks ago. And most of it was coming together just fine, except for the invitation to communion, at which I was just absolutely blank. Well, I've been taking the class on how to have a merry heart in a Martha world. And one of the verses we memorized was Philippians 4, 6 through 7, which says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in all things, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." So I thought, why not take those verses out for a test drive? So every day when I would start thinking about what am I going to say and my anxiety levels would start to rise, I would repeat this verse and the levels would start to come back down. And I went through this a lot. But then finally one day, I had the answer. And so I have a story that I want to share with you. I work for Bob and Teresa, who live in this house right next to the church. They have a son, JP, who is a pastor in Rockford, Illinois, just south of Chicago. He's there with his wife and four children. And roughly 3 years ago, they took in three tiny children who had been terribly abused by their parents. In January, the adoption of these three children became final. And so they are the parents now of seven children. JP's sister, who lives in Wisconsin, drove down for the adoption hearing, and she described to Teresa that this brother of hers, who had teased and tormented her all through childhood, was a vision of pure love that day. Now, these young children, when they were taken in, were malnourished. They had been hospitalized because of the physical abuse. One of the little boys, Jack, was given a blanket at night and made to sleep in the bathtub because he wet the bed. And Teresa said he had been burned. And she said, "I don't mean cigarette burns. He had actually been set on fire." So now at the age of seven, this little boy wakes up at night screaming and flailing because the terrors of his past come to visit him in his sleep. But they have found that if his now daddy goes to bed with him and talks to him and reads to him and prays with him and rubs his back, the little boy will sleep peacefully through the night because he goes to sleep knowing he's loved, he's knowing he's safe, he knows finally somebody has his back. Jesus invites us to this table today, not only to remember the sacrifice he made, but also to remind us that he is the source of pure love. Christ calls his broken and battered people to join him and find his blessings and his comfort. It is through Jesus that we can have the peace of a little boy who knows his daddy loves him. So please open your hymnal to page 406.
Thank you.
come to the table, invited by Christ, to receive the peace that comes in knowing our Father is here with us. We remember the night when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. While they were at table, he took bread and blessed it and broke it. Jesus gave the bread to his friends, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you, to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
O God of grace, bless this cup, which helps us to remember Jesus' life and manner in which his life was given for each one of us. May your Spirit empower us to overcome our blindness and our weakness so that we might be of greater service to your kingdom, in humility and yet in confidence. We pray for your continuing guidance. Amen.
Thank you.
During Lent, we remember that God gave the world Jesus, and Jesus gave us his life. While many people may think of Lent as a somber time to give something up, we might better see it as a time to give of our hearts, our lives, and our gifts in response to God's own gracious generosity in our lives. So the diaconate will wait upon us. Please give from your heart. Please pray with me. God of our lives, we give these offerings in gratitude, rejoicing in the abundance of your gifts to us. We give these offerings in faith, trusting that you will provide for our needs. We give these offerings in hope, knowing that you can use them to spread your love in this world. And with these offerings, we give ourselves. May we live with generous hearts, with open hands. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning is from John 12, verses 20 through 36, found on page 106 in your pew Bible. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and they said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it. And those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." And then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all the people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Messiah reigns forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Jesus said to them, "The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you do not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of the light."
Our second reading today is a responsive reading of Psalm 119. If you would take out the chalice hymnal and turn to the back to the Psalter section, on page 759 in the hymnal, you'll find the responsive reading for the first eight verses of Psalm 119. It includes a sung refrain. We'll listen to Lonnie play the refrain once. We'll sing it together and then read responsively, singing again when there's the bold letter R. Happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of God.
Happy are those who keep God's decrees, who seek God with their whole heart.
Who also do no wrong, but walk in God's ways.
You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently.
Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes.
Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments.
I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous ordinances.
I will preserve your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me.
Thank you, choir, for that Lenten anthem today. I invite you to pray with me this morning. O Lord, we long to hear your word. We long to see your light. Speak to us now, O God, for your people are listening. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The passage that we heard this morning from John chapter 12 is a traditional reading for the last Sunday during Lent before Holy Week begins. The story of John 12 takes place right before the Passover festival happens. Chronologically, in the gospel as told by John, the reading we heard comes right after Jesus' triumphal entry. John's gospel has an interesting story leading up to the events that we remember every year during Holy Week. Part of what happens in John's gospel is that Jesus visits often with his friends Mary and Martha and Lazarus. You may recall that Lazarus dies. It is in John's gospel that we hear that shortest of all verses, Jesus wept. Jesus wept when he heard his friend Lazarus had died. And then Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, raises Lazarus from the dead. As you can imagine, that causes quite a stir. There are people who had never given Jesus a second thought before who now suddenly want to meet him. Who wouldn't want to have an encounter with the one who can bring the dead back to life? So it is during the festival that there are some who speak only Greek. They come from Greece. They have traveled to Jerusalem. We don't know if they practice the Jewish faith or not. But when they are there, they come to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee. Bethsaida as a village was at a crossroads. It was a center of trade, so it would be likely that people who grew up there spoke both Aramaic and Greek. These unnamed Greeks who want to see Jesus find someone who speaks their own language. They say to Philip, perhaps he even had an accent where they could tell, this follower of Jesus will know what we want. They say to Philip, we want to see Jesus. It's a simple request, perhaps uttered with urgency. We want to see the one who brings life. In some churches, there is a small plaque on the pulpit, hidden from view of the congregation, but seen by the preacher, by anyone who steps into the pulpit to speak. In some churches, there's a small plaque that has this verse from John 12. We want to see Jesus. It's a reminder to the one who brings the sermon, the word of God, that the whole point is to help those who are present see the one who gives life to the dead. So Philip goes to Andrew, and the two of them take the message to Jesus. Lord, there are some Greeks here who want your autograph or something. Have you got a few minutes? It's interesting that the story ends with Jesus not going forward to meet them, but actually going into hiding. He is hidden from them. For you see, at this moment in time, Jesus knows what is yet to come, what is ahead. You all know the story. The story of Holy Week that we'll celebrate together soon, beginning next Sunday with Palm Sunday, Jesus' triumphal entry. But at that moment in time, Jesus is already looking ahead to the cross. And so he speaks these words that seem somewhat cryptic about a grain of wheat falling into the earth and dying. It remains just a single grain, but if it dies, it bears much more fruit. Jesus is focused on his death that is yet ahead. Those who love their life, he says, will lose it. Those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. In verse 27, Jesus goes on to say, "Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." The word glorify shows up multiple times in this passage, and in the Greek, it literally means to be lifted up. Jesus speaks of being lifted up. "When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." There's this double entendre, this double meaning in his conversation. Jesus will be glorified. Down the road, in two Sundays, we will celebrate the glorious resurrection of Easter. Jesus will be lifted up, raised from the dead. But in the meantime, on Good Friday, Jesus will be lifted up in a very different way. He will be raised on a wooden cross, bruised and bleeding for the sake of humanity. Those who want to see Jesus, whether the Greeks who came to Philip and Andrew or you and I, those who want to see Jesus, so often we are tempted to want to see the glorified Christ, the risen Lord, the one who is indeed life in the face of death, and yet that is not all that he is. Jesus is also our suffering Savior. Those who want to see him must also see him on the cross, as painful as that is for us to bear. A vision of such suffering that we want to shut out our eyes to block out that vision of death. In this passage in John 12, this is where Jesus is caught in that moment where he is anticipating his own death. Imagine, if you will, visiting a friend who's had a terminal diagnosis, for whom death is coming. The mind focuses on that moment in time. All of life is suddenly transformed through the lens that says you only have a few hours, a few days, a few weeks left on this earth. Things that before seemed to make so much sense and have so much worth suddenly pass away, and it's almost as if you have tunnel vision. You focus on what is most important, the gift of love, the gift of life itself. Jesus is focused on his own impending death, but also on the Father's love for all humanity. For why else would we have this conversation that the apostles overhear? "My soul is troubled," Jesus says. "What should I say? Father, save me from this hour." It's a foreshadowing of other words that Jesus will speak in the garden on the night of his punishment and impending death. Jesus will pray to the Father, "Take this cup from me, but not my will, but thine be done." The holy light of God's love shines through this moment in time in human history, this moment of crossroads, where Jesus could walk away from the calling that is ahead of him. After all, it's not a terminal disease he's been diagnosed with, but crucifixion. He could leave Jerusalem and avoid being arrested, but he stays, knowing what is ahead. "The light is with you for just a little longer," Jesus says. "Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you." In that moment, of course, Jesus isn't necessarily talking about the light of a candle or the light of a sun. He's talking about the light of God's Son, the light of God's love that guides the path we are all called to walk if we choose to accept that invitation. There are a few creatures in this world that are intended to live in total darkness. There are some little tiny crickets born without eyes that live in the deepest recesses of hidden caves, never seen, never needing to see light. There are a few species of fish and odd sea creatures that live in the depths of the ocean in deep trenches far from sunlight or moonlight. But aside from that, the majority of life on this planet needs light itself. And so do we. We are created to be creatures of the light. The visual cortex in the human brain processes information that the eyes receive when there is light. We interact with the world because of what we see. And even for people born blind, light still has bearing. If you would close your eyes for just a moment, just let your eyelids rest closed. Even with your eyes closed, you can tell that there is light in the sanctuary around us. You might not be able to point to a specific window or a candle, but you can tell that there's light. If you put your hands in front of your eyelids and squint them tighter, it gets darker. Even with your eyes closed, you can tell there is light. When you're ready, open your eyes again. The human body is made to process information because of light. Not only that, we feel the warmth that comes when the sun shines. The human eye is an amazing gift. Even in the darkest of nights, we can pick out the tiniest pinpoints of light. When a full moon shines, if you pay attention, you don't need a flashlight to find your way. Your eyes will adjust even in the darkness and let you see where to place your feet on the path ahead. The darker the night, the brighter the stars. God blesses us with light, not just physically, but spiritually as well. There are times on every human's journey that during our spiritual walk, it's as if we're stumbling along with our eyes closed. For whatever reason, from our own sin or our stubbornness, we refuse to see God's glory right ahead of us. We keep trying to make our own way. And when we reach a crossroads where we have to decide to open our eyes and see God's love, receive grace and forgiveness, or keep stumbling on in the darkness of sin. Psalm 119 speaks beautifully of the light that we receive from God's word. This morning, as we read responsibly the first 8 verses, we also sang verse 105. Of Psalm 119. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. God's word guides us where we would walk in life. God's word helps us to know what is right and what is wrong, to turn away from sin. God's word comforts us in times of trial. When we are sick or suffering, we find hope there. It's not an accident that John's gospel begins by speaking of the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. In the gospel of John, Jesus Christ himself is identified as the living Word of God. The Word of God is not just the words of Scripture that we find in the pages of the Bible. The Word of God is also Christ, our Savior. Jesus is the light for our path, the one we are called to follow. In those seasons of life where we struggle with darkness, perhaps it is just because we are like a single grain of wheat, falling and being buried before we are raised to new life to bear even more fruit. The light is with you a little longer. The story of John 12 continues beyond the reading we've had today. The rest of the gospel continues with the glory of Easter's resurrection. In that moment, God's light comes to dwell with us forever. Our path may no longer need to be darkened. We can see the way that Jesus would have us live, for he is the way, the truth, and the life, the light and the resurrection. Psalm 119 and John 12 intersect around this theme of light and the presence of God's word. I invite you to listen just to the last few verses of Psalm 119. Let my supplication come before you, O God. Deliver me according to your promise, O Lord. My lips will pour forth praise because you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your promise, for all your commandments are right. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord. Your law is my delight. Let me live that I may praise you, and let your ordinances help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek out your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. The word of the Lord is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Jesus Christ, God's Son, our crucified and risen Savior, is God's light shining still in the human heart and in the world for all who would see. May we be children of light, followers of Christ. Amen and amen. Our closing hymn today is in the Chalice Hymnal on page 442. Originally, it is a tune from South Africa, Siyahamba. We will sing it in English. We will sing together, "We are walking in the light of God. We are singing in the light of God. We are living in the light of God." I'm going to ask Anne to play it through once for us so that you can hear the tune, and then we'll sing three verses, "Walking, Singing, Living." Walking.
We are walking in the light of God. We are walking in the light of God. Thank you.
living. There's a time of fellowship waiting for us. There's coffee and refreshments downstairs in Fellowship Hall. I hope that you will stay and visit with one another. If all hearts and minds are clear, I invite you to stand for the benediction. O God of grace and glory, your light shines within us. Forgive us for those times when we close our eyes or turn away. Call us back to your path, O Jesus, that we might follow you, that your light might shine in us this day. Amen.
Cheers.